House Planning and Development, April 1st, 1969. Work session on Senate Bill 10 and House Bill 1694 and 1695.
Let's call the roll.
Bradley. Engel.
Present.
Kennedy. Mann. Roberts. Rogers. Willis.
Here.
Wingard.
Here.
Mr. Chairman.
Here. We're scheduled to have a work session today on three bills. Mr. Chambers asked if he might take just a few moments to speak on Senate Bill 10, and in as much as he requested that some time ago, I think we will allow him to do that. Mr. Chambers, would you like to comment on Senate Bill 10?
Mr. Chairman, members of the Fund Committee, my name is Cyril Chambers. I live in Wells Fargo, Oregon City, and I represent the Clarkson County Farm Bureau. And I've served on the Land Use Advisory Committee for the Clarkson County Planning Commission during 1961 to 1963. Senate Bill 10's most important son is to go on better agricultural land, so the future generations of all joiners will have adequate food supply. Agriculture production present is produced by 25% of all food that is consumed in the United States. The surplus is being exported. It's also the fact that we have hunger in America that should be fed from our abundant food supply. The present large agriculture output is being supplied from our present farms, only one part of which have full-time operators. Three-fourths of our farms are operated by farmers who work in other employment. Recently, the president of the Nationwide Fertilizer and Chemical Association has stated that with our present farms, due to our present technology, our national farm offset report could be increased 300%. If we consume all of our present agricultural production in the United States, which would leave no one of our 200 million population without adequate food, we could support a population of 600 million people if we work our present farms at maximum capacity. Future family planning would probably stabilize our population of about 250 million people. So our real problem is to conserve our bare farmlands and instead of saving up promising undeveloped land reserved for our future use. We have also supplied food and health to other nations which are not self-sufficient with food supplies. But most important, the Rockefeller and Ford Foundations have sent agriculture scientists and plant breeders for many years to help the emerging nations develop their own agriculture output. The 1968 Yearbook of Agriculture tells that they recently developed wheat that will produce 50% more grain than Oregon's previous best-yielding wheat varieties. Our plant breeders in other nations have for 20 years been busy crossing our improved wheat varieties with various forms. With the result, the Mexican farmers have tripled their wheat production. Mexico is now self-sufficient on wheat. Pakistan is expected to be in 1970, and 16 other nations have achieved improved yields. In Southeast Asia, rice normally yields 1,400 pounds per acre. Our plant breeders working in Asia have succeeded in perfecting new varieties, raising this yield on land under their supervision to 6,000 pounds per acre. Rice production in Southeast Asia is expected to double in the next 10 years. The new varieties are in general use. Better food crops are also receiving attention. It appears our future food output is satisfactory. Senate Bill 10 has other interesting aims, such as pure air, water, scenic, recreational, and other uses, of which we now have other state agencies. I don't see the need of duplication. ORS Chapter 215 deals with our planning and zoning law. First, the interim zone for a period of 3 years, during which time the comprehensive planning takes place, after which we put permanent zoning to the vote of the people. Senate Bill 10 is now written with bypass established planning and zoning procedures. This must mean that this bill simply is not interested in sound planning and zoning practices. Because of 27 million acres involved under this bill couldn't properly be processed with several times the few professional planners available in less than 10 years' time. Yet we find a totally unrealistic deadline of December 31, 1971 on this bill. Such haste amounts to compulsory zoning without planning, and in little time will the people be allowed to vote on submitting my intent of all privately owned property in this state to some new board in which the people will not have confidence because it was created by compulsory legislation. Primarily aimed to place our state's entire private property under protected custody. The callous disregard of private property rights involved in Senate Bill 10 will lead to profitable land use of most of our state in utter confusion and indecision. Industrial or commercial expansion will be impossible because no one will know for many years what the final land use will be. Instead of fostering a diversity and improved economy of the state, the opposite will be true. Because our economy will be frozen until proper planning is completed some 10 years hence. Zoning is not an aim in itself. It must have the cooperation of the property owners. I will cite Boston as an example. It was first zoned in 1692, which was before the Declaration of Independence, and is now reported to have many unsatisfactory conditions existing. Senate Bill 10, if passed, will increase the tension between our local government bodies and their citizens. What we should do is take this bill number and write a new bill promoting badly needed unity and goodwill between our local government body and their citizens instead of trying to goad our citizens into rebellion. Since 1917, the blood of our youth has been spilled in different lands to protect democracy and the right of self-determination. Will our legislature pass and our governor sign legislation which is totally lacking in the very essence of democracy that the flower of manhood is vowed to protect? I hope not. Unless Senate Bill 10 is properly amended to permit a voter of the people involved in this enormous area of land to be zoned, I wish to put the Clackamas County Farm Bureau in opposition to Senate Bill 10. I wish to thank the committee for your kind attention.
Thank you, Mr. Chambers. Are there questions? Bob?
Does the Clackamas County Farm Bureau agree with your position? I mean, they've taken and had a meeting and voted, et cetera, et cetera.
I am the legislative chairman, that is correct.
Well.
Well, just answering your question this way, the entire county of Clackamas County circulated a petition and put a referral on the last general election, and it was voted by all the people in the county, city and the rural people, voted by a 4,000 vote majority to vote zoning out of Clackamas County.
My understanding, though, the Farm Bureau was established, the policy was established at the lower level and then worked its way up, and I just wonder if they concurred, if the membership concurred in your opinion on that.
They do, in fact.
I'm a little confused. I apologize for being late, so I didn't hear all of your testimony, but I got the feeling that when you started out, you were in favor of the bill, and when you ended up, that you were opposed to it. My understanding that you don't like this particular bill, but you think that some kind of a statewide zoning bill should be passed, or did I miss the issue?
Well, I'm in favor of planning and zoning, but only if that is the will of the people that are planning and zoning. This is compulsory zoning here, with the people having no rights at all in this. What's more, it's such an enormous undertaking that the people. This zoning and planning cannot be completed for a long period of years. The staff isn't available for this planning. So I oppose the bill on the basis that it's impractical.
Thank you.
Further questions?
Bob? You knew who recommended the bill to the legislature, don't you?
the agriculture.
Yeah, the Inner Committee on Agriculture.
Yeah. Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Chambers. I've asked Wilson of the Legislative Council to come down to explain the impact of the proposed amendments you have printed and before you, dated March 24th, and also to explain an opinion that Legislative Council developed for Senator Fadley, or based on his comments on the floor debate in the Senate about the constitutionality of Senate Bill 10. So, Chuck, would you proceed, please?
Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Chuck Wilson, member of the staff of Legislative Council. The question Senator Fadley raised at the last public hearing on this bill was a question of constitutionality involving the separation of powers clause of the Constitution, Article 3, Section 1. This same question was currently raised on the floor of the Senate in discussion of the bill, and in response to a request from Senator Wilner, I wrote an opinion regarding that problem posed to me. In regard to the amendments that you spoke of, Mr. Chairman, these amendments are in response to that problem that has been raised. They do two other things, but in the main, they are in response to that problem. It's our opinion that this bill does not constitute an unconstitutional exercise of legislative power on the part of the executive, because it's a delicate power. The legislative power under certain circumstances, as you are all quite familiar with, is delegable to executive agencies if the proper standards are provided for exercise of that power. For example, any executive agency that you can name, Public Utility Commissioner, Board of Health, Department of Agriculture, they all have the authority to promulgate rules and regulations regarding the subject matter with which they're charged with dealing. The exercise of this power is always subjected to standards, so that it is not an unfettered delegation of the legislative power, which the courts have held is an unconstitutional delegation. In this case, however, you'll notice that if you examine the bill, Section 2 provides that any zoning that the governor does is to conform with the hearing and the notice provisions and the standards provided in Chapter 215. So, without trying to make a word-by-word reading of this opinion, which I understand you have a copy of, Mr. Chairman, yes, that is the essence of the opinion, that it is not an unconstitutional exercise of the legislative power. And as I say, these amendments, if you will notice, part of the opinion indicates that although we don't think that this is an unconstitutional exercise of the legislative power, that to avoid the criticism that the governor is being permitted to make law, we've suggested changing the word ordinance to regulation, because that's the more familiar terminology. And that's, if you'll examine the amendment, that's what most of that is, changing ordinance to regulation. On page 4, the change regarding the substitution of the subsections is in the nature of correcting a typo. It's incorrect reference to a previous section. On page 2, there's a reference to the governor's power to enjoin construction of buildings or the performance of other acts that would constitute a violation of a landmark plan or zoning ordinance. Some objected to the use of the terminology in describing that power. It says the governor may enjoin, and they suggested that it would be more appropriate to insert language like the governor may cause to be instituted an appropriate proceeding to enjoin, because as all know, the courts are the agency of government that impose injunctions for violation. That's about what I have, unless somebody wishes further explanation.
Are questions, committee members? Okay, next, Chuck, we'll probably call in on you again.
So we have another set of suggested amendments. Stan Church. Stan, would you take the seat, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Stanley Church. I'm an attorney in Lake Alba Legal Hall, speaking for the Oregon Association of Realtors. And this meeting represented Engel's question. This weekend, the Oregon Association of Realtors held a board meeting by the province. This bill, among others, was fully discussed by local legislative committee. The board of directors and has the power to offer any amendments that they suggest. First of all, in my experience before this committee, I suggested that the date be extended past the date of December 1st, 1971. Let me reiterate and reaffirm that the realtors support this bill. Certainly, there's no organization, no group of people in the state that are more concerned about zoning than has more day-to-day concern about proper zoning. However, we do see some practical problems in this approximately 2.5-year period. There's probably personnel. If each one of these counties are going to have to cost, they got $12,000 for planning directors. So, I mean, number one, there's going to be shortages. They're very difficult to find now. I know this, experienced my own community. I served on the planning commission for 5 years. These people are very hard to find. Now, for that reason, we're prepared to offer a second amendment. That would go on page 2, line 11. After land, if any county should file under consideration a comprehensive land use or zoning ordinance, showing satisfactory progress or final action of the final ordinance, the governor may guarantee a reasonable expense to find out the date of section 1 of the application. Please present my order. Let's say that he, as the case as I understand it, Lake County, they've been working on this for about 5 years. They still haven't got the county's own. Well, certainly, we wouldn't want the governor to step in and put a plan in operation for Lake County if they were actually very much trying to put one in. So I suggest is that use the word reasonable extension there, but I think the courts would understand what the word reasonable meant. And this week we'll illustrate the act. Now again, on page 2, line 28, after the word governor, we delete the period, insert a comma, and all such hearings should be held at the county seat in the county with the comprehensive land use plan and zoning ordinance to be described. We think this is only fair in that hearings should certainly not be held in Salem. If we had a zoning ordinance under consideration to create a county, allow a county, these people should not be required to Salem. And this is clearly spelled out where the hearing will be held. And this will give everybody an opportunity to be heard as to how their property might result. We feel these are reasonable methods, and I would offer them to the committee for their consideration.
Thank you. Questions from the
committee? Stan. Reasonable and satisfactory are well understood, are they? In,
I believe so. Representative Engels, I have no right of authorship in the amendments. I would refer to the legislative council if they deal with other languages. It's preferable, certainly. We have no objection. We're just trying to get the idea across that reasonable, satisfactory progress. If the county has had, though, they're actually working on it, they've got a planning director. We think it's reasonable that they should be allowed to complete that within a reasonable time. They're not certainly they could drag their feet for another 3 or 4 years.
might see some real problems in this bill if take a county like Wheeler. 2,000 people in the county are sitting out there in the county seems impossible. You're probably going to have to pay a planning director more than you're paying any official in the county just getting there.
I was about ready to bring up Wheeler County or one of those other magnificent counties over in Eastern Oregon. Is it really, do you really think it's necessary for Wheeler County to hire a planning director?
Well, let me say this, Representative Kennedy, suppose you own a piece of land on the railroad, on Main Street of Apostles. You don't want to send it to a single family residential, but you might be able to send your land for a day for a wheat grinder or a warehouse facility.
Yeah, but so these people don't have an opportunity. It would strike me that the problem of Wheeler County could be best solved by contracting with the Bureau of Governmental Research or some other appropriate agency, and I would think that it would not take them more than a week or two to zone Wheeler County.
I don't know. You
go over and zone it agricultural with certain limitations, and that's the end of it.
Mr. Chairman, if they're going around the railroad down there before they zone it, it might take more than 2 weeks.
They don't have the railroad now?
The chief railroad.
Same reason you're thinking of. My experience with applying a comprehensive zoning to any area is that you have people who want to get in and do what they want to do just before you get the zoning and planning done. And this is always the problem. In fact, what you usually try to do is sneak up on everybody. You recognize this, I think, and do you have any suggestions how you avoid that when you're implementing zoning over areas that are unzoned?
You too, George?
Yes.
Other questions?
You don't live in Clark, Wisconsin, do you, Sam?
I live in the zone area of Clark, Wisconsin. Let me put it that way, and I prefer not to get into the county house.
Other questions?
We've got a couple of zoning areas to see.
All right, we have these two amendments before us. The one dated March 24th that Chuck Wilson spoke about doesn't make any substantive change to the bill. Would it be the pleasure of the committee to
move their adoption?
All right. Representative Ingalls moves that we adopt the proposed amendments to the gross corrected Senate Bill number 10 as printed, dated March 24th. Is there discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Yes,
so ordered. I would prefer, with the committee's approval, to hold off action on Church's proposed amendments until we complete additional hearings. Now, we're scheduled next Thursday for a two-hour hearing in room 6 at 1 o'clock, and then next Tuesday, instead of our 1 o'clock meeting, we'll meet in room 6 at 7:30 for a hearing. And we will...
7:30 which?
Night, p.m.
What day, then?
Yeah, that would be the 8th.
Week from Thursday?
No, Tuesday. A week from today, we will not meet at 1 o'clock. We will meet at 7:30 p.m. in room 6. And I've notified all of the... I've notified all of the county courts and the county commissioners through the Associated Oregon Counties legislative report of the action that has been taken in the scheduled hearing. So I'm hoping that we can conclude at least a major part of the hearings Thursday and Tuesday.
Now that's the 8th of April.
8th of April, a week from today at night. Yes,
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if anyone here was on the interim committee on agriculture?
Yes, Joe Rogers and myself were.
Oh. Was there any discussion at all in that in regard to land, in regard to planning and so forth, land for cemeteries in the future? Theoretically, cemeteries could take over. And I think that certainly ought to be in the area of planning. So, because that's a highly emotional subject, of course. But some zoning, some planning, it seems to me, should be made in that area.
No, there was no discussion of that.
There was no discussion at all.
There was some discussion, I believe, of zoning Wheeler County for that purpose.
Mr. Willits, we don't discuss cemeteries. The federal representative is Plain County.
Well, it seemed to me that there should be some thought and discussion of that, especially in regard to planning and zoning, because it's really an important subject in many ways. And I think something should be put into this bill in that respect, so that she draws the attention of the planners.
We're fine. We can consider that in our next work session. If you'd like to prepare some language or something, or we can look at
it.
Further discussion on Senate Bill 10? If not, let's move into, let's see, House Bill 1694. And Jack Cropper, would you take the seat, please?
I think, Representative Kennedy, the answer to that would be that the compact, as far as other states and the national government were concerned, would function for them. They would be faced with a situation of whether they were willing to accept an adjustment from Oregon and go back through their own process. More likely, I think the case would be that they would simply take that as a meaning or an inference that Oregon wished it differently and would probably be left alone.
What would be the result of this?
That Oregon would not be a member of the Western Interstate Nuclear Compact. It would require going back through all their legislatures to adopt the change suggested by us. Since five have already adopted, that would seem unlikely.
Further questions?
Okay.
Further questions?
No.
Bill?
What are the states that are involved in this? Our surrounding states?
All of the 11 western states, this would be California, Oregon, Washington, Alaska, Arizona, Utah, Nevada, Montana, Idaho, and Hawaii. Don't think there are more than that.
And five of them have approved it?
Five have approved.
Which ones are they?
California, Washington, Idaho, New Mexico. I think Utah, but I'm not certain of that. I can check that in a few minutes.
Sure.
Washington was six, sorry. I think you recall the Kessler Cannon reading a telegram received from Governor Evans stating that Washington had signed the compact was in effect.
Other questions?
This is a referral.
This has a referral away from me.
I think so. It's $12,000 per reading.
Other questions from the committee? Would you like to take action on this bill? We scheduled for a work session. If you like, we can hold it over.
I move we pass the referral. Do pass
recommendation with referral to Ways and Means. Okay, Representative Engel moves that the House Bill 1694 be passed to the floor with a do pass recommendation with referral to Ways and Means. Is there discussion?
You suggested that we change one word in it. Were you suggesting that as an amendment, or has that already been done, or what?
We did adopt that.
I think you did take formal action on that the last session.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure.
Where does that leave us then with respect to amendments?
This in Section 3 and 12 was the part which we added to simply use the words to designate who would be the compact member, which is the state's project, of course.
This was not a printing error in this bill on page 12, line 24, where development was written in place of energy. The original bill is disclosed development also?
Yes, sir, it does.
I don't believe we have taken official action on that amendment. Mr. Engels, may we amend your motion? No. Mr. Engels moves to amend his motion to amend House Bill 1694 on page 12, line 24, delete the word development and insert the word energy. Is there discussion? Not those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. So ordered. Is there discussion on the passing out of House Bill 1694? We pass recommendation.
I'd like to ask a question.
Yes.
Does the board now exist? The board referred to in Article 2 of
the fifth state passed it just 2 weeks ago, Representative Mann. Once the states act on it, the same bill will then proceed through the National Congress, and at that point you could begin to form it. It has not been formed so far.
Other questions? Additional questions? Not those in favor of the motion will answer aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, call roll.
Bradley.
Aye.
Abel.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Mann.
Aye.
Roberts. Rogers. Willis.
Aye.
Wingard.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye. The motion is passed. Let's take a look at House Bill 1695.
Propose an amendment on page 3, section 3, and I don't have the exact language, but I don't get the idea. It can be drafted in the committee, approve the amendment very easily. Section 3 deals with the composition of the Nuclear Energy Council. I would propose that the composition of that council be as follows. One shall be employed by the Oregon State System of Higher Education. One shall be a member of the Oregon State Sanitary Authority. Two, from industries familiar with and interested in nuclear development. One by the Department of State Government regulating natural resources. We could possibly, in that connection, name a specific agency if we desired. Two representing the public. And then, in addition, the State Health Officer and the Director of the Department of Commerce are represented designated by them shall be members ex officio of the Council.
You place that as a motion?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Kennedy has moved that we adopt amendments to House Bill 1695, page 3, section 3, as stated. Is there discussion?
Question.
Yes.
Then you're eliminating one from the practice of the healing arts, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm eliminating
one by a private college or university, one by a private research and development organization, and one by the one of the practicing of the healing arts. The state health officer strikes me as practices the healing arts, and I think insofar as the private research development organization, if these people, this kind of a person shouldn't be on the council, but to be used as a technical person to advise the council rather than being a member of the council as such, because I think that there's somewhat of a potential conflict of interest in the situation. I have no reason for deleting the one by a private college or university other than I felt that it was desirable to have two public representatives, one of which certainly could be someone from a private college or university.
What's your total now, Brett?
Same. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Same as that.
Seven plus two.
Between the three, you're substituting.
Well, one, the first one is the same. That's a person from the State System of Higher Education. The new one is a member of the Sanitary Authority. The third one, two by industries familiar with and interested in nuclear development, is the same. And one by the Department of State Government regulating natural resources is the same. The two public members are changed. So it's the Sanitary Authority member and the two public members.
And deleting the private college, private research and development, and healing arts.
Yep.
Further discussion? Jack, would you like to react to that proposal?
I think it's an excellent one, sir. As I mentioned one time before, the leaving out someone from the Sanitary Authority was an error in drafting. The other changes, I think, are appropriate, and particularly the one relative to the State Health Officer. One further thing that might be clarified, when we refer to the Sanitary Authority, in the past, utilization has been of Mr. Ken Speed as head of air and water quality for the chief staff member, who, while he is not responsible for policy, is highly informed as to the application of the rules and has been most useful to the committee in the past. You might express an opinion whether you wanted a member of the authority or the chief staff member.
My own feeling would be that it should be a member of the authority, but I would have no objection to having that member designated a member of the staff. We have provided with the state health officer and the director of the Department of Commerce.
Would you like to add that language as your amendment?
Yes, I would.
The sanitary authority, it would be the director or a person represented, designated by writing by him.
Or it could be that the would be a person designated by the sanitary authority. They could either designate one of their own members or a staff member. That's the other.
Further discussion on the amendments? Not those who are in favor of the amendments will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion is carried. Further discussion on the bill. 1685. In fact, I believe the last hearing we requested you to develop or acquire some figures as to what the fiscal implications would be if the Senate bill portion was incorporated into this. Do you have those, that information?
Yes, sir, I do, if I may pass it up.
Potential ecological effects of operational
radioactive discharge. 6, disposal of waste heat. 7, aesthetics of the site not limited to transmission line placement. 8, public safety aspects including but not limited to transportation of spent fuel elements, safeguards against sabotage. And 9, adequacy of design with regard to plant operational safety, including the plant provision for continuous inspection. 10, adequacy of a warning system. Essentially, those are the 10 things that Senate bill would require the nuclear board to look into. The description of the cost of the board's operation in the PUC memorandum is not for a stamp, but except for a secretary for the stamp. But the cost of the amendment and some of the consulting that would have to be done on that basis. One of the other comments that I thought might be of interest to you was a letter on the Interior Department engineering, Federal Water Pollution Control Administration, addressed to a member of the Senate with a copy to Mr. Spees of the Sanitary Authority, in which the Federal Water Pollution Control Administration commented on Senate Bill 370. And in essence, found, I think, their principal matter of concern stated this in the third paragraph. The bill contains no policy statement for environmental protection to guide the board in reporting its recommendations, which in the final analysis I'm not finding. Thus, our questions would be, would the proposed legislation duplicate or hinder the purposes of the state's existing air and water pollution control laws and policies? What effect would the new board's recommendation have on the issuance of water discharge permit by the state sanitary authority? Would the board be required to comply with the sanitary authority's laws and policies, or vice versa? Would the public hearing procedure available under the state pollution control laws be weakened by the new procedure? They go on to say, we cannot infer the answer to these questions, the omission of any policy statement for environmental protection or a reference to existing pollution control laws and policies makes it difficult to foresee the ultimate effect of 370.
Sorry to me, Jack, at this point, where does it take place and by whom the things that are set forth in Senate Bill 370 in Section 12, those 10 points, that we would be considered by the 17 principles. At what point in the request for a site location does that take place, and who conducts this sort of survey?
Well, the timetable, if you'll refer to the inner office memo, the first 5 points on the memo, the board is set up, and they indicate some part of their meeting schedule. Essentially, the major provision of 370 is that 12 months prior to any approach to any federal agency for any kind of construction permit, in other words, the ADC, the sponsor will inform the state nuclear board, and the state procedure begins before any federal procedure begins. The next letter that we'll refer to explains that this is almost a physical impossibility. The construction permit procedure with the AEC requires essentially that within 4 months after issuing a contract, you must come up with the safeguard provisions of how your plant will operate. So much of the data requested in this particular bill, 12 months in advance of any contact with a federal agency, simply is not available until you have a contractor to advise you what the safety considerations on the particular plant are going to be.
I didn't state my question quite right. Assuming that we disregard that section of Senate Bill 370, is it the AEC alone then that sort of thing that Senate Bill 370 is asking to be done by the state?
Right. The AEC licensing procedure, including a public hearing in the area proximate to the plant site includes more than and all of the provisions of 370 except for the air and water quality standards that apply.
Other questions at this point?
Well,
George?
I guess we don't have that bill, do we, here to study?
No, we don't. We just have one copy of 370. Oh, we can go get some real quick.
Well, I would just...
Maybe we better, because this is quite important.
Yeah, I think
you
should.
We'll get two nine copies of 370.
We're waiting, Chairman.
Yes.
What's the source of this?
I'm sorry that I can't give you the letter of transmittal. I came on the telephone today, and I'll have a proper letter for you tomorrow.
From whom?
It was prepared by John Hines of NUS Corporation.
What's that?
Hines was the man who spoke about reactor lifeline procedures 40 years old.
It's a consultant.
It's a nuclear consultant.
NUS?
Yes. It used to be referred to Nuclear Utility Service. Now it's the NUS Corporation. And it was prepared for and released by Eugene Washington Electric.
Dated March. Okay, those Senate bills are on the way. Do you want to continue with anything else?
I would like to refer to the letter dated March 10th. Senate Bill 370 appears to have the following objectionable features. The first question raised is whether there is authority for the state to get into the reactor licensing function. Back to the question of the preemption by the federal jurisdiction or the agency jurisdiction. There are some areas which the agency is not preempted. There are others where the constitutional picture would indicate that the agency has preempted state involvement or any other involvement in reactor safeguards, for instance. And that question is raised.
Chairman?
Yes, Rich?
Am I interrupting you, Mr. Mayor? You better ask a question.
No.
I would like to go through the Section 12 of Senate Bill 370 with Jack, just to clarify my own mind. If such a bill as 370 does not pass, who would be responsible for some of the points in 370? If anyone, because I think that someone certainly should consider all of the points that are outlined in Section 12 of this bill. The first being population density, use characteristics of the site, including opinions and views. I'm not.
Why don't we just wait a minute until we get the bill in front of us? Then go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, here they are already. Okay. That's well.
Number one is population density. Use characteristics of the site, including opinions and the views of the local population as to the tolerability of pollution and radiation hazards. Does the AEC consider that sort of material in their hearings?
Representative Kennedy, absolutely so. As relative to the population density, tolerability of pollution, I don't know. That's pretty subjective. Radiation hazards, absolutely.
Okay. Characteristics of the site. Use characteristics of the site.
What line is that, sir?
That's line 16.
Oh, I see. That would, referring in a land use concept, to other uses of that land.
So, yeah.
I would doubt it.
Okay. Let's see. The pollution question would be handled by the sanitary authority?
Yes, sir.
The radiation hazards would be handled by AEC? That's
yes.
Okay. Population density?
AEC.
AEC.
They have a whole series of exclusion zones and ascending or descending scale population with a kind of extra safeguards.
What have. About number two?
Completely for both of those.
Okay. 3.
Number 3, I think the general answer would be hydrology to a large degree, but they have not taken jurisdiction of or set AEC standards for thermal effects in water.
What about the sanitary authority?
The sanitary authority's ability to operate in the area is still there. Yeah, there is a serious question, this is really the crux of the whole matter, whether AEC is required to pay any attention to the Oregon Sanitary Authority. The Senate Bill 7 and the National Congress, the Muskie Bill, the main effect of that is to say that the AEC will not license until they receive the concurrence of the state or federal sanitary authority for water pollution, water and air pollution. That's an uncovered area at this point. The major one.
Is it your understanding that if a nuclear power plant was constructed and was in violation of the sanitary authority's power, that the state sanitary authority couldn't close that plant down or force it to comply?
To my knowledge, there has never been a test case in this area where there have been public objections to heat disposal systems. I don't think there's a record of official state disapproval via the governor's office or via state authority. And the question, I don't believe, has ever been based on whether AEC would go in violation of it. But they've always considered that they have the jurisdiction to do so if they wanted to.
What about before the fact? In other words, before the pollution occurred, could the sanitary authority, notwithstanding the cloudy situation that we seem to be in, say, no, you can't do it this way before it actually polluted anything, which would be the logical time to stop it, not after the plant was
completed. I prefer not to answer the hypothetical, except to say that in the case of Oregon, where the sanitary authority did make a statement relative to once-through cooling, the utility who had proposed the once-through system reversed itself and went to cooling towers on the basis of a sanitary authority statement.
What about number 4?
I think that is completely covered.
By AEC?
By AEC.
What about 5?
The answer, I think, to that question, Dr. Farmer, who is not available, could go into much more detail than I can in that regard. I know that there is ecological monitoring that starts well in advance of the plant startup and follows along after that. Potential effects, how far you go into potential effects, I don't know.
Let me just touch on that. Okay. A little bit. How about number 6?
To what degree the AEC rules on waste heat disposal is not clear. I'm sure that they do consider it. There is no public guarantee of any particular standard or statement of principles under which they make their rulings relative to waste heat disposal. I'm sure it's considered, but there are no public guidelines.
George? Well, then we have to go back to number 4. We Jack on the first half of number 4.
Yes, I would say you would, although
that
meteorology is the key word, then I think that aspect of it is pretty much covered. But heat disposal in general is something else.
Well, they're one and the same, in essence. The heat disposal affects the meteorology of the area.
True. that the heat may be water and not having too much effect on the meteorology.
Well, that's the big question, of course. Does it or not?
AEC claims to thoroughly investigate the meteorological condition. I'm sure that they're referring to high wind conditions and a relative amount of the wind rose effect of the air. Environmental effects of the waste are generally not under and they're published guidelines. So I would say that you could say that the forest is not completely covered by AEC.
Thank you.
Some consideration, no guidelines. Public safety. I would say rather completely. And mine, completely. Likewise, on number 10, those of you who have been through the research reactor at Oregon State are familiar with that.
Jack, if you, Mr. Jones?
Yes, sir.
Jack, if you were thinking about including these things in House Bill 1695, where would you put those? Not covered in general.
I think that it would be conceivable and possibly or probably appropriate to direct the Nuclear Energy Council to formulate for FARC what its position on these elements of nuclear power facility should be. Well, we will have difficulty in going further in directing them to set standards. One of our acknowledgments in requesting this kind of bill is that we simply don't have accumulated the knowledge and expertise to draw those guidelines firmly enough. Precisely where it is. I think Senator Mason said in front of the committee he was not aware that the other's advisory committee was involved with the bill. I think it would be fair to say that on the basis of that statement that there had not been any cross-flow of information regarding the bill.
The further questions on Section 12, George, do you have a proposal you'd like to...
I don't know, maybe Rich does.
Well, I
think those things that aren't included, and I think should be included in here, and I'm just looking for a question for them. Maybe you found one.
No, my concern is we do have some gray areas that were pointed out, including land use characteristics of the proposed site, the pollution problem, including increase in the water temperature, and so on, that don't seem to be very clear as to who is responsible. Now, it may well be that the state sanitary authority in most of these situations does in fact have the power to act in this area, but we're not sure. So my only suggestion would be that we certainly give this responsibility to somebody, whether it's the nuclear power board or the sanitary authority or whatever group is appropriate. We should certainly consider these.
One question.
Yes, Jordan.
Jack, you said you were worried about specifics of this thing, and I really don't know whether I follow you. You said that you didn't want to hamstring the people that were going to carry out this program. Is that what you said, or did I misinterpret what you said?
I don't read that quite clear.
Well, you said you wanted to keep things rather broad because you really didn't know what was going to happen.
I think that was in comment to a private question the other day, or a question between ourselves. It's difficult to lock down a standard, particularly relative to siting, that could last for 10 or 15 years, as there's so many dynamics or so many possibilities.
Well, these statements of the Bateson bill of 70, there's nothing there that really ties it real deeply to any particular location. If these things are reviewed and properly done, if they're done...
And shall be considered. No, I think that's true. The place, I think, in the bill to do it would be in Section 1 of the Legislative Assembly defines and declares. And there are...
on your point 3 there.
There are points, or an additional point could be added between 2 and 3.
Well, Mr. Chairman, maybe Mr. Kennedy could work out those points we talked about there and come back. Yes, sir.
We probably ought to contact Senator Bateson and tell him what our ideas are and... your idea is to put this in the...
So it wouldn't be covered by the AEC to put them in the statement of goals there under Section 1 someplace.
Section 370 was, as I recall, Senator Bates' testimony was drafted in a very short period of time together without a great deal of, according to his own testimony, without a great deal of thought going into it.
So I think it does have
points that probably are worthy of consideration by the committee. One of the concerns that I have, and I think everybody has, is relates to this whole question of land use. We have a bill right in this committee now to prohibit the construction of nuclear power plants on prime agricultural land. I don't think that without prejudging the bill that we want to lock in a situation that to that degree, but I certainly think land use should be a consideration in the location. We're concerned with Senate Bill 10 and a number of other bills and some other committees that are trying to do something to preserve farmland, prime agricultural farmland. But we're facing a situation probably in the Eugene area of somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 acres of prime agricultural land going for a cooling farm. I do have some other areas around Eugene that have some rather undesirable land from the standpoint of farming. Maybe equally undesirable nuclear power facilities, for all I can hold, but
what's the status of Senate Bill 370 now, Mr. Chairman?
It's just in committee. It's in the Senate.
And still in Senate bill.
I think I've taken the action on the last time I looked at it.
State Federal Affairs Committee, I
believe. Oh. Did it in limbo?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Representative Miller.
One other thing that might be considered, on point three of Mr. Hines' conversation, he makes the point that the AEC holds public hearings in connection with their safety analysis report. Do you know where they hold these hearings?
One is held, I believe, in Washington. The other is held in the close proximity to the site.
So one hearing doesn't do us any good at all, because nobody wants to travel to Washington.
Let me confirm that for you. I'll get that answer. I'm not sure about the second.
I'm thinking, Mr. Chairman, we might want to incorporate Section 11 of Senate Bill 370 in two, and then I call it. Turn attention to Mr. Hines' information on the top of page 2, which is reassuring. He said that the Muskie bill, which has high probability of being passed, calls for the AEC construction permits for type of certification from a state or interstate water pollution control agency prior to issuing the construction permit. So this is a period we're not spinning our wheels, that we are actually going to. In this area, the federal government is not going to preempt the field, and is going to leave it to the states, which is surely a step in the right direction.
It's interesting to know that the chairman of the Washington Post several weeks ago, there was a similar bill that Bill 370 before the Maryland legislature, which didn't pass, because the Senate, the Maryland Senate, refused to pass it, so the House passed its own resolution to create some board. Fortunately, it'll all be made up of people representing one class, one legislative body, but this bill was fought rather vigorously by the people that are interested in building a nuclear power plant in the state of Maryland.
Might be a good step to start a unicameral legislature there.
Further discussion on the 1695?
Yes, Chairman, I could offer one comment relative to the Muskie bill. Reported in Nucleonics Week, the 6th of March, the Joint Atomic Energy Commission Chairman, Caulfield, and AEC Commissioner Ramey endorsed Senate Bill 7, and this was the first time that either one of them had gone anywhere near that kind of approach. So it has a good chance.
Okay, is there further discussion? Well, for a week from Thursday on the 10th, we'll hold a hearing on House Bill 1832, which is the one that prohibits construction of a nuclear power plant on prime agricultural land. And we'll also have a work session and hopefully take action on 1695. And so, Jack, if you would keep in touch with Representative Kennedy, who will talk to Senator Basin, and we'll see if there are certain of these sections of Senate Bill 370 we can put into 1695.
This is a week from Thursday?
Yes, a week from Thursday. Further discussion on any bills for the committee?
I don't think we have anything that we can get up.
For the committee? Is it long enough?